Chapter 16. Final Thoughts. The Work of Change. Change is hard. We don't want to do it, even if it means that things could get much better from change. It is difficult. I have been working to explain these benefits of ClO2, Brown's gas, and other molecular medicines to family and friends, and have seen their faces look blank. It is as if they feel sorry for me because I believe in all of this. But then I see them suffer headaches, flu, sinus infections, COVID-19, and other diseases without having any other options than pharmaceutical remedies or just plain suffering. We tend to just want to keep our heads down and continue with the status quo of life because change is uncomfortable. When it comes to medicine, most of us have grown up in a generation of pharmaceutical drugs, surgery, vaccines, and continual reminders that healthcare is supposed to be complex and expensive. An example of this is how we treat a common cold with an earache. I will run through two different scenarios of this below. The first one, and this is on page 132, is an earache with your child with traditional medicine. Scenario 1. If you have a young child, you have a hard night with them crying and with low fever. It looks like the child has an earache. You need to wait until morning, and then you can get on the phone and make a call to a doctor's office to see if they can see your child that day. A secretary schedules the appointment for you, but first you need to discuss insurance coverage and if the doctor even will work with your family's healthcare plan. If they will, you can schedule the appointment. You rearrange the schedule of your day so that you can take your child to a doctor and take your sick child to an office where there are going to be other sick children. The office is nice and well decorated for children. The furniture is high quality as well. All of these things cost money that you are paying for through your insurance, by the way. After waiting for 10 to 30 minutes with others, coughing around you, you are escorted into a small waiting room by a professional nurse. On the way, she weighs your child and checks for vital information like temperature and blood pressure. After sitting in the smaller waiting room, the doctor comes in and you talk about the symptoms of your child. You have been to the doctor in the past with your child's earaches, and you're pretty sure that it is the same thing. However, the doctor still needs to look into your child's ear with the otoscope and verify that it is infected. They charge you a fee for this professional consultation and a visual test. The doctor writes up a prescription and gives it to you to take to the pharmacy. This means that you have to make another stop. As you leave the doctor's office, you make a copayment of about $20 to $40 for the visit. Your insurance company pays the rest of the actual bill, which may come to over $100. Then you go to the pharmacy store and drop off the prescription for antibiotics and wait between 20 to 120 minutes for them to have it ready. You pay another $10 to $30 for the medicine. Your insurance pays the rest of the cost if it is more expensive. At this point, for the next day, your child is still in pain, even though you have been giving them antibiotics. That is because it takes a full day or so before the infection and inflammation start to reside, and they can sleep more peacefully and feel like doing normal things again. Traditional medicine option, total cost, $30 to $50 if you are insured. Time to recover, 2 or more days. Now, let's go through 2 scenarios with your child having an earache, but using molecular medicines. Scenario 1. Your child did not get sick because they were on a protocol 1 with chlorine dioxide or a maintenance dose with chlorine dioxide. Or they were drinking hydrogen bubbled water each day as a part of their daily routine. Scenario 2 with molecular medicines. Your child has symptoms of an earache in the night and you immediately give them a child version of the 6 and 6 dose, followed by Protocol 1000, or Protocol C with CDS. You also prepare some chlorine dioxide eardrops and give it to them. They feel better within 2 to 3 hours, and much better in the morning. Then they continue on with their life. Molecular medicine option, total costs, about 10 cents worth of materials. Total time, 3 to 4 hours. So this scenario is for a simple ear infection, or these two options. In the left column, it happens all the time with us and our children. You can write a parallel story for UTIs, strep throat, or any type of virus infection that people get, and come out with similar results in the terms of cost and time. Actually, UTIs take several days of traditional antibiotics before you get relief, and maybe a day or so with chlorine dioxide. That is comparing the two. If you increase the seriousness of the sickness to something like something chronic, like autoimmune disease, cancer, arthritis, Lyme disease, kidney problems, etc., the cost and the time to recover, if it is possible to recover, on the left column medicine goes up astronomically, because they require a steady stream of payments for medications and sometimes surgery. Additionally, the time to recover goes to infinity or never, because there is no known cure for these issues in the traditional healthcare models. Yet, for the molecular medicines, it takes between days and weeks and maybe months on some occasions, with a few dollars for the cost. In spite of the possibilities, we still live in a left column world of medicine. We are trying to transition into the right column system, but it takes time and work from those that understand the science and benefits of these and other molecular medicines. Then, once again, I put on my what-if glasses. This is the what-if glasses that I talked about, I believe, in Chapter 1. And try to imagine a world where chronic and autoimmune diseases were reduced by 50 to 90%. What if cancer were reduced by 80 to 90% to the levels that they were back in the 1970s when I was born? What if people could treat tumors in their homes without surgery and without the high costs of hospital stays? What if the pandemic were solved with a few simple solutions instead of the billions and even trillions of dollars that are being spent with the current system? What if most allergies disappeared for people who had been struggling with them for years? What if healthcare costs were to go down by about 90% because the need to treat sickness in general dropped drastically? What if the need for medical professionals went down by 90%? The final question I ask in this chapter is, what would all of these healthcare professionals do if the demand for workers was cut in half or more in their profession? My answer to that is something even better. They will do something even better. They are already some of the brightest and most talented people in the world. They have already proved themselves through the education and medical system so that they could be where they are now. Chances are they will find something even more noble and wonderful to do with their talents that will also benefit the world. Age of information versus age of discernment. This transitional change of accepting simpler medicines is difficult. Again, change is hard. Accepting new medicines that work better, new business models that aren't as profitable, and new careers that aren't as lucrative is a big part of it. But the truth is moving forward. And the best thing about it is that the sick are the ones that are benefiting the most. They are recovering from diseases that they were told were incurable. They have recovered from the crisis and pain of being sick, and now they want to tell the world about this new science as they share their story. And as they share their messages, the powers that be are trying to squelch the message and vilify those that share it. As we move forward with this kind of change, it becomes difficult to know who is telling the truth. We look online and see opposing messages. One side tries to downplay these molecular medicines with fear tactics and false narratives. The other side continues to testify that these things simply work. The information age that started a couple of decades ago has now become a jumbled mess of conflicting messages that make it difficult to know what is right and what path we should follow. In my final paragraphs of this book, I want to propose that the information age is now behind us. Everyone has a phone and computer and can access information on anything they want. We can look up any piece of data, story, and video that is available to the world. With this, we can scientifically prove two opposite sides of an issue of health, politics, or lifestyle with all of the data that social media has to offer. We now live in an age of discernment. We have to study things out in our minds, prove all things that are important to us, and hold fast to that which is good. We need to be wise in our learning before we make decisions of change. This takes work. It takes study. It takes testing. If we are not willing to do this work for our health, then we will continue down the road of increasing sickness, no cures, and increased side effects because of the medications that we are being given. There is a better way. However, it is not for everyone. We all need to choose change, and change is difficult. I invite you to test these things and share your experiences so that others can learn from you. The last thing I end on is a poem written by a friend of mine. His code name online is The Curious Outlier. This poem is called Pandemic Proof. Pandemic Proof. People around the world are finding out the truth about a simple substance that makes us pandemic proof. No bad virus or bacteria can survive when it is around. If it is used appropriately, the results are quite profound. This substance is not new. For decades, it's been hidden. The FDA and Big Pharma gnash their teeth because it's not forbidden. I've seen it cure malaria, and typhoid is no match. Smallpox and the plague, it can easily dispatch. What this stuff can do cannot be overstated. A universal antidote, by NASA it was rated. But now the powers that be tell you it's a poisonous bleach to hide its true potential and keep it out of reach, since they really need it, but they want to keep its powers concealed. They have put a plan in place to ensure it's not revealed. They make you think it's poison, and to drink it you will die. Don't believe their propaganda. See through this terrible lie. Pandemic proof, the world would be, is why this poem is wrote. I hope that one and all can have the universal antidote. And that comes from the website, theuniversalantidote.com.